Hi, welcome. My name is Jack Register, and I am your host for a couple of supervision podcasts. The supervision podcast talks about the idea of how do we do supervision differently and help those who are trying to experience supervision in the behavioral health world find what it is that they're looking for. This is a kickoff of a new season that's going to include video and some interviews. I have some previous episodes that I'll be uploading so that you all can have some basics on what is supervision and what does that look like. So just to tell you a little bit about myself, I'm a clinical social worker and addiction specialist who has been in the field for more than 25 years. I'm actually licensed in several states, both in addictions and in social work. And I'm a clinical supervisor and do research around clinical supervision as a doctoral student. My core concern is that many people coming into the behavioral health world do not get the socialization or the supervision that they need because many agencies are set up to do administrative supervision, which is task-based and focused on getting people in, getting them productive, because once you have a license, you're billable. And once you're billable, you become a commodity to a company. And that company does not necessarily take care of you if you are a clinician, especially if you're a new clinician in training. And one of the problems I run into whenever I'm working with folks is trying to help them understand what are some of the concerns that are happening around them and how they're not being taken care of or being asked to take clients who are out of scope, clients who are way beyond their capacity, and dealing with issues of personal liability as a clinician, even though you're employed by an agency and you think you're covered under their liability insurance, but in reality, you're not. So this podcast is really about trying to help folks trying to understand how do I take care of myself? How do I take care of my practice? And what do I do in supervision and how can I use it more effectively? So I'm going to start this episode with some basics, real basic stuff. If you are in the behavioral health world and you don't have a solid relationship of trust with your supervisor, then you need to have either a clearing conversation with them or you need to find a new supervisor. Your supervisor is not a professor. This is not someone that is taking you back through as if you're back in grad school. But this person does need to be a trusted confidant that you can actually come to and say, I don't understand what's going on right now. These are the things that I tried to do in this case. These are the things that are happening in this case, and I'm not sure where to go next. Supervisors are not going to lead you by the hand through a case. They're going to expect you to show up with them with an agenda, with the ability to actually talk to them about what's going on, having done some thinking and some research on this yourself. The supervisor is responsible for what you're up to. So sometimes you might get a response from them that is not necessarily generative or even polite, it might feel like, because you're coming to them whenever you don't know, and they're coming back at you with a way that kind of feels like you just hit a brick wall. So I want to touch on that a little bit. The supervisory relationship is a dynamic one. As someone who does clinical supervision, I take on a huge amount of liability for somebody else's practice because I'm responsible for what they tell me and what they don't tell me. So if you don't tell me about a case that's going on that ends up having a client die by suicide, or if you don't tell me about a situation where a client has been exploited, I may be in a situation where I might then be legally sanctionable because of something that you have going on in your care. So part of the thing of clinical supervision is that we have to take the next step. We have to actually ask questions so that we are really clear about what's going on with our person. And that might sometimes feel like I'm getting all up in your life. I'm getting all up in your cornflakes. I might be asking you about how you're prioritizing your time, why your documentation isn't getting done. Because if your documentation isn't getting done, that's going to be on me as a supervisor as well. So part of the concern here is how do we help balance this out together? Because no clinician is perfect. Nobody has this figured out. And the world of clinical care and behavioral health has transformed dramatically in the last 20 years. How I was trained when I first came on the scene is very different than how folks are trained now. It's not a good, it's not a bad, it's an is. And so part of the issue is being able to trust that relationship. So let's start with some ideas of questions you can ask if you're not sure if this relationship is somebody that you can trust. One, does your supervisor have experience in the scope of practice and population that you're serving? For example, If you're somebody doing child welfare work or working within the child welfare system, working with juveniles in general, and you don't have a supervisor who has some experience or expertise in that area, you might be working with somebody who doesn't really even understand the dynamics of what's going on in those cases to help protect you. And because you're working with a population that's going to involve the court system a lot through divorces or whatever else is going on in the family system or mandated clients through child welfare, if your supervisor doesn't have experience with that, they can't help support you whenever you run into a problem and you don't know what to expect. Do not go into a testimony in court without any preparation because you'll have your head handed to you. And oftentimes clinicians go into that thinking it's a conversation like a team meeting, and it is absolutely not. And that is something really important to know. Second, do you trust your supervisor to be vulnerable with them? So let's say, for example, that I'm working with a client and I'm having some transference. I am experiencing something with this client that I don't understand. Do I trust my supervisor enough to say, hey, I don't know what's up with this client, but I'm having feels about this. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why I'm feeling this way. I don't know why I'm angry. I don't know why I'm attracted to them. I don't know. If you can't trust your supervisor to be vulnerable with them, this is not the right supervisor for you. So oftentimes people will try and find a supervisor who mirrors who they are as a person in terms of identity or in terms of experience, or they might go to an old professor who does supervision because they trained underneath of them when they were in school and they trust them. I actually give a discount for folks who used to be former students of mine when I've been a professor. So that then lets them know that, hey, I'm a good person for you to be able to fit with. I also ask on a regular basis for folks that I'm supervising who weren't students. How can I show up for you differently? How can I, as a supervisor, better support who you are so that we can build that trusting relationship? Trust is absolutely essential in this work, and without it, we will run into major problems in terms of being able to take care of the people who need us. So that's what we're going to start right now with the podcast in terms of couples supervision. And in future episodes, we're going to get into some of the nuts and bolts and specifics of things to try and give you more details, more data, and more options so that as we move forward, you actually have some more resources. So be well.